got your Bible with you, let's make the devil mad and let's set ourselves up for success and let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get better and better. You sound so good. Give the Lord your best shout. Your best shout. Amen. Open your Bible with me, if you would, please, to the New Testament, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Before we begin our Bible study, let me set up our brand new series. It's Christmas at Church on the Rock. It's Christmas at Church on the Rock. For the month of December, on the weekends, it's Christmas at Church on the Rock. But the subtitle is Who God Chooses, God Uses to Make a Difference with Their Life. The subtitle is Who God Chooses, God Uses. You heard Brittany on her story. She felt like she couldn't be used by God because she'd made so many mistakes. And she came here and found out God's grace is bigger than our mistakes. That's good news, right? So whom God chooses, God uses to make a difference with their life. Pastor, I don't understand Christmas at Church on the Rock. And then you're talking about who God uses, God chooses, God uses to make a difference with their life. Well, where I'm coming from is the Christmas story. Notice the people that God used in the Christmas story. How about Joseph? How about Mary? How about the innkeeper? How about Herod? How about the wise men? God used all those people. God chose them to use them to make a difference with their life. So we want to talk about that this whole month, how that who God chooses, not man, who God chooses, then God uses to make a difference with their life. And if you're visiting today, or if you're joining us online and you consider yourself a member, you might live in Oregon, you might be in the UK, you might be in Florida, you might be in California, wherever you're at, you might be in a prison cell watching. You might be in a hospital room, an emergency room, but wherever you're at, if you consider this church a part of your church, a part of your life, it's your church home, then you need to know the purpose of your church. I wouldn't give, I wouldn't serve, I definitely wouldn't raise my family in a church that didn't have a clear purpose. And the clear purpose of our church is to help people know God. Help people know God. Remember, that's how we get better, and that's how the world will get better. And then, what is our purpose? Not only to help people know God, but to find freedom. Every time I teach, I pray that signs and wonders will follow and that people will get free. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. Amen. The addicted are set free. The captive are released. And we do that every service. There's an anointing for breaking free. We have Celebrate Recovery that Steve leads every Thursday night. And then we're going now into the jails and we're ministering there. And we have all of our small groups that we have. We're launching a bunch of small groups in the spring. And all that's about helping people find freedom. So the purpose of our church, why we give, why we serve, why we're faithful, why we come, why we raise our family here, because we know what the purpose is, and that's to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and then what? Make a... That's where I want to land. This whole month, on the weekends, that's where I want to land, is helping people make a difference with their life. Be a difference maker, a world changer, a history maker, making a difference with your life. Boy, that's huge, isn't it? That's huge because when you know that you're making a difference with your life, wow, then you're excited about your life. You're excited about getting up in the morning. You're excited about going to work. You're excited about throughout the day because you know that your life isn't a mistake. You're not a misfit. You're not a throwaway. You're not a has-been. By the way, God never leads you back. God always leads you forward. God will never lead you back. God will always lead you forward. I want to say it one more time. God will never lead you. The good old days, Pastor, I want to go back. No, you don't. They weren't that good. God will, now man may lead you back. Your feelings, your memories, your emotions want to go back, but God will never lead you back. God does not lead us back. God, if he's leading us, he's always leading us forward. Boy, that's a revelation right there for somebody here right now. Because you're thinking, if I could just go back to that marriage, that job, that church, that ministry, that city, when I was that age, then things would be different. No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. And it wouldn't be God leading you back. Because his mercy is new every morning. And your future is bigger than your past. Amen. And you can't go forward looking in the rear view mirror. So we're going to land this whole month on the weekends as I'm going to equip you as your pastor, teacher, trainer. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give aid to you and add value to you on how you can make a greater difference with your life. So let's look at it. Let's begin to lay a groundwork with Scripture today. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we want to look there at verse number 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9. For it is he, that's Jesus, who delivered us. And then what did he do? He delivered us. That's freedom, right? And then what did he do? He saved us. No, look, he saved us. He delivered us. And then what did he do? At home. What did he do? He saved us. But it didn't stop there. Then he... Oh my goodness. He delivered us by saving us, but that he didn't save us just to soak and set and sour and coast and drift. He didn't save us just to exist, to put up with stuff. He didn't save us just to set, soak, sour, be cynical. He saved us and then he called us. So if you're a note taker, I'd write this down because a lot of people don't know this. And here it is, based on that, every Christian has a calling. Every Christian. Black, white, yellow, red, young, old, poor, rich. Broken or whole. Every Christian. Those who seemingly are perfect and those seemingly who keep repeating the same addiction and habit and tripping over the same sin. Every Christian has a calling. Can you say that with me? Every Christian has a calling. Oh, you sound so good today. One more time. Every Christian has a calling. So God didn't leave any of us out, right? Now, most people never walk in that calling. I've been a Christian for 50 years, and I know what the church is like, and most people in the church don't even know they have a calling, or they may think that there might be a calling, but they don't seek to know it or walk in it. Most people don't. Pastor, I want a scripture for that. Many are, but few. There you go. Many are called, but few walk in that call. Few separate themselves and dedicate their life, consecrate their life, commit their life to the call of God on their life. So we're not just talking about preachers on the platform and paid staff and a paid team. We're talking about those of you in the seat, in the pew. We're talking about everyone in the body of Christ. Every part, every ear, eye, toe, knee, ankle, hip, everyone. Everyone who's saved, everyone who's saved is called. Isn't that good news? Everyone who's saved is called. So say it one more time. Every Christian, every Christian, every Christian has a calling. Ooh, isn't that powerful? Now, what is that calling like? Let me give you scripture. The Bible says it's a high calling. Doesn't the Apostle Paul say in Philippians 3, I press towards the mark of the high calling? Doesn't the Bible say, number two, it's a holy calling? See, what I'm doing to you right now is you should see it as precious. You should be pursuing hot pursuit after your calling. You should be going after it. It should be the most important thing in your life after finding Christ. The most important commitment you will make is to Christ. The second is to His call on your life. The most important decision and commitment you can make is to Christ. And the second is your commitment to the call He has on your life. So that call is precious. The Bible says that it's a high calling. Everyone say high. It's a holy calling. Everyone say holy. And then thirdly, these are all scriptures. It says it's a heavenly calling. Everyone say heavenly. All three start with the letter H, better to remember. Because the next time you think you're good for nothing, that's the devil telling you that. The next time you feel like you have nothing to offer, you're insignificant, you're not qualified, you're not needed, you're not wanted, those are all lies from the devil. I just set you free from all of that. That when the devil comes and says, your life doesn't matter, you're not important, you don't have the right personality, you don't have the background, the upbringing, the network, the net worth, you have none of that, that's all the devil. Because God says, if you're a Christ follower, He's given you a calling. And the calling is a high calling, higher than anything else. The calling is a heavenly calling. It's eternal. It's eternal. And the calling is a holy calling. You've been set apart for that. Is everybody with me so far? So every Christian has a calling. And when we walk in that calling, based on this scripture, when we walk in that calling, very few Christians do. Most Christians don't even care about it. Or if they know about it, most of them won't commit to it. So you and I, we know then that every Christian has a calling. And when we walk in our high, heavenly, holy calling, watch this now, we fulfill God's purpose for our life. Watch the progression. Every Christian has a calling. When we discover it, we commit to Christ, commit to the calling, give our life to it, see it as most important, because we'll all stand before God and answer to Him what we did with our calling. Now, here's what I know from my own life. God didn't force me to be a pastor. God didn't force me to be a pastor, teacher, leader, coach, mentor. God didn't force me. Here's what I know. God is not in control of my life. I am in control of my life. Here's what you need to know. God is not in control of your life. You are in control of your life. God is only in control of what you have given to Him. God is only in control of what you have given to Him. I am in control of my life. I could have chosen, Kim and I in 1975, I could have chosen not to go into full-time ministry. There's a lot of other things I could have done. But I found out that the greatest thing I can do in my life is commit my life to Christ. That's the greatest commitment. The second greatest commitment would be commit my life to the call on my life. So I don't waste my life and miss my life and stand before God and God says, you're here, but you've lost all your rewards because you didn't do what I called you to do. There'll be Christians in heaven that got there because of the first commitment, but they lose out on their role, rewards, and responsibility in heaven because they didn't commit to the second commitment to His call on their life. So every Christian is called, and when I walk in that call, I fulfill God's purpose for my life. And when I fulfill God's purpose for my life, that's when I make a difference with my life. Based on the scripture, let's look at it. He delivered us, and then what did He do? He saved us, and then what did He do? He, and then there's the word I gave you. It's a holy calling, right? Remember holy? Remember high? Right? I remember heavenly. A calling, and it leads us to a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness. He did it not because of anything that we've done. Wow. But because of and to further what? His own there's the word purpose. There's the word purposed living, living on purpose. The two most important words in your life as a Christian is identity and being intentional. The two most important words in your life as a believer, once you've committed to Christ and then you've committed to the call on your life from Christ, the two most important words is identity, and the second one is being intentional. What is that? Becoming the person God wants me to be and living my life every day on purpose. Everyone say person,
person.
On purpose. Person,
person.
On purpose. Okay, so he says, not because of anything that we've done, but because of to further his own purpose and grace. Notice there's grace that comes with a purpose. That's good news, right? Because you and I could not fulfill the call without God's grace, without God's power, without the anointing. There's an anointing for the assignment, right? Yeah. So unmerited favor, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world. Notice he called you before the world begun. So God created you. God, what did he do? He chose you. If you're a note taker, he created, that starts with C. He chose, that starts with C. And then he called you. That starts with a C. See, that right there should get rid of a poor self-image. Now, a poor self-image, not knowing my identity, will keep and hold God back from doing what he wants to do in, with, and through my life. Who God chooses, God uses to make a difference with their life. Not knowing who I am in Christ will limit and restrain God from what he wants to do through you. Are you with me? Can I give you a picture in the Bible? Children of Israel come out of Egypt. God brought them out to bring them in, but God couldn't bring them in because they were in control of their future. Right? You are in control of your destiny. God doesn't force us to raise our family in church. God doesn't force us to have family devotions. God doesn't force us to serve on the dream team. God doesn't make us tithe or give. God doesn't make us worship him. We're free moral agents. You and I are in control of our life. God is only in control of what we give to him. Does that make sense? And if we don't know that we're created, that we've been chosen, and that we're called, if we don't know our identity and live life intentionally, then we'll limit, restrain the Holy One of Israel from what he could do through your life. He brought them out to bring them in, didn't he, church? And didn't he bring them to the border of the promised land? They sent out 12 spies. Do y'all remember the 12 spies? And 10 came back and said, you know, God's big, but there are giants in the land. Two of them came back and said, there's giants in the land, but God's bigger. See the difference of the perspective? Okay. But what I want you to see is, what did the 10 say? We're like grasshoppers. What is that? Self-image. We're like grasshoppers. What is that? It's how they saw themselves. How they saw themselves determined what God could do in them, with them, and through them. How do you see yourself today? Do you see yourself as an old sinner? Do you see yourself as a mistake? Do you see yourself as inferior? Do you see yourself as inadequate? Do you see yourself not qualified? Do you see yourself not usable for God? Then you're limiting the Holy One of Israel. But when you see yourself saved, created, chosen, called by God, not of anything that we did in our own self, but he did it out of his grace and favor and mercy, then you're positioning yourself for God to use you and do great things through you that will make a difference with your life. Here's a good time to praise him. Can we give him our best? Is that your best? Is that your best? Wow. All right, so let's go to John chapter 15. I sure do love y'all, by the way. John 15, and let's look at verse 16. I love this verse. Pastor, you say that all the time. Well, I'm addicted to the word. Amen. He says, you haven't chosen me. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Huge. Don't miss it. He said, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you. Now, we can read right over that because of our culture and our Western world. But in the Eastern world, in the Middle East, in the times of Christ, that was opposite to normal. Because what was normal back then was the student chose the rabbi. The student would choose the teacher, the mentor, the rabbi. And here's what Jesus does. He said, no, I'm the rabbi. You're the student. I chose you. You didn't choose me. Oh, my goodness. Well, what's the big hairy deal? It is a big hairy deal because you know what he's saying is I picked you before you picked me. Doesn't the Bible say that he loved us while we were yet sinners? He died for us while we were yet ungodly. So in the Bible times, the student picked out the mentor, the life coach, the rabbi. But here Jesus, as the chief rabbi, he says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. That means you're something special. That means you're handpicked. All right, so he said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And here's another big one. I ordained you. Not only did I choose you, I ordained you. To be ordained means to be set apart. It means other things I'll share with you in just a minute. I ordained you that you should just sit in church and murmur and complain and sit and soak and put up with life. And no, I ordained you that you should go. Folks, we just got to go. That you would go and bring forth what? Fruit. And that your fruit would what? Long after you're gone, it would. I call that legacy. He said, I want your fruit to remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father my name, that he may give to you. Notice that he put in prayer at the last half of this verse. The last half of this verse. Because if you don't know that you're chosen, if you don't know that you're called, if you don't know your place in him, then you won't be able to pray right. So let me give to you, as the team comes out, let me give to you several words, five, that start with a letter P if you're a note taker. And I want to give you Blunt's paraphrase of what this verse means. Is that okay? Five words, letter P, powerful principles. It will cause you to make a difference with your life when you see what this actually means. He says here, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I ordained you that you would go bear fruit and that your fruit will remain. And then he said, now you're positioned to pray prayers that get results. Because you know who you are and what you have in him. You know your identity and you're living intentionally. But let me give you the first one. What does it mean? Is that he picked us. He picked us out. Boy, that should get rid of a poor self-image right there. He picked you out. Number two, it means that he placed us. Not only did he pick us for such a time that you and I live in. You say, Pastor, I wish I could have lived in another time. No, you don't, because this is the time God picked for you to be placed right here. God knows where to place you. You know, Kim and I, when we got out of college, I wanted to go to California. I wanted to go out west. But you know what? God had other plans. God said, David, Kim Blunt, you can better relate, resonate, connect with people in St. Louis, Missouri than you can in California. He said, I got a place for you. I picked you out for that place. I chose you before the world was ever created. So say it with me. God picked me. God placed me, and then to be ordained, it means God planted you. How many know that until you're planted, you can't grow? Now, you have to hear your pastor who loves you right now. I'm really not impressed, and I really don't have time for people. Yeah, Pastor, I love Church on the Rock, but I go to this church on Tuesday and that church on Sunday and this church on Monday. And whoever's in town, the latest buzz, that's where I go. I love you, but I'm not going to go fellowship with you. Because I can't help you. You and I can't grow until we're planted. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. So not only did he pick you for this time, he placed you in St. Louis, and he wants you to be planted in this church. And even those of you online, you can be planted in this church if you're in Oregon or Washington or Florida or Texas or California or New York or New Jersey or Rhode Island or Scotland or the UK or Germany or Egypt or wherever you are. So notice this verse is saying that God picked us and then God placed us and then he planted us. Isn't that powerful? That he picked us and he placed us and he planted us because he has a plan for us. There's a plan for us. I can't make a difference with my life until I first commit my life to Christ, then secondly commit my life to that heavenly, holy call, high call on my life. And then once I do that, then what happens is then I can fulfill his purpose for my life, make a difference with my life, because he has a plan for my life. And the fifth word in the scripture is that now I live a productive life, a productive life. We bear fruit and our fruit remains. It's called legacy. Isn't that powerful? So say it with me. God created me. God chose me. And God called me to make a difference with my life. Now, I'm running out of time, but where I wanted to go next, I went last night, and we'll do it next weekend. But do you remember the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that it says that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God, the message says God chooses what the world would say are useless people, worthless people. What the world says that there's no hope for those people, those are the people God chooses. The least likely candidate is the one that God chooses. Now, why does he do that? So God will get all the... 1975, Kim and I, we were so... I was excited about going into full-time ministry. And I went to our pastor, and I love him. I love him to this day. He's in heaven today. And I went to our pastor, and I said, Pastor, you know, Kim and I, we're gonna get rid of everything and we're gonna go into the ministry, we're going to college. And he looked at me and he said, Dave, you'll never make it. He said it in love, but he said, Dave, you and Kim don't have what it takes to make it in the ministry. He told me, he said, don't quit your job, don't sell your house, don't sell your Corvette, don't sell your 900 Kawasaki 1974. Don't sell any of that. We were going to build a new house. We were going to get a lot in the country. He said, go ahead and build that new house. Go get that lot. Do not do what you're thinking about doing because you don't have what it takes. Aren't you glad that it's God who chooses you? And it's God who calls you. And it's God who picked you out. And he placed you here to be planted here because he has a plan for you here. And then you'll have a productive life and you'll make a difference with your life. Because who God chooses, God will use to make a difference with your life. Is this okay today? I'm excited about this month. Amen. Give the Lord a good praise if y'all got something. Hallelujah.